and welcome to another episode of Book Echoes, the podcast on making great books while making creative lives that work for us. I'm your host, author, editor, and book coach, Connie B. Dowell. And it's just a quick intro to you guys today. I am recording this in advance of our very, very careful road trip with lots of wiping things down and as few bathroom breaks as possible to get to my parents' house and then basically have as socially distanced of a trip as possible. We felt like we had socially distanced for a long enough time and my parents were also socially distancing that we could safely visit for a trip where we basically just don't really leave their house. So it is, you know, it is just a crazy busy time to try and wrap things up here and clean the house so we don't come back to a messy house and then head on out. So this episode will actually hit your earbuds when we are on the road, and it feels really appropriate as today my interview with returning author guest Renda Beach is themed around her newest book, which was inspired by vacations to a lake. And her picture book, we talk about her newest picture book, which is also a bit of a journal and a prompt for children to draw their own pictures and write about their own vacations at visiting lakes. So it's a really interesting interview for a different kind of book, a book that is both a picture book and a journal and has this interactive element. So if you have ever thought about writing a book with an interactive element, a book with prompts, a workbook or a journal, this is a really good interview for you. So I hope that you guys enjoy it, and I will be back next week with another short episode, actually still released as we are coming back from our socially distanced vacation. And then after that, there will be another author interview once we are back here. So moving right on, here's the interview with returning guest Renda Beach. Today on the podcast, I am talking with children's author Renda Beach, who is also a former interviewee. So this is her second time back on Book Echoes. So welcome back to the show, Renda.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here again and so glad to have another book to talk about.
Yes, I'm so glad that you do have another book coming out to talk about. So for listeners who maybe haven't heard your previous episode that came out, I think last summer, nearly like a year ago, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and now your books, plural?
Okay. The biggest thing I am is a teacher. I taught second grade for like 33 years. I've been retired for 5, but I still sub, so I still hang out with my kids. I started writing about 12 years ago when I met a bat in Germany. I mean, the flying kind, not the kind that you hit a ball with. But it started me writing. That book is still in my computer. But I've learned a lot since then. Being retired is wonderful because I have more time to write. I don't know that I could have done what I've done when I was still teaching, and now I have 2 books. The first one you showed last year was Neil Armstrong's Wind Tunnel Dream, and it started me on the path of self-publishing because I met the story in 2018. The big anniversary, I'm so glad it was last year and not this year with the pandemic. With a year, you cannot classically, traditionally publish this. It just wouldn't work. So I took advice from friends. I learned a lot. And by May, about 19th last year, the book came out and it's done really well. One of the things I discovered is having a niche market is a wonderful thing. I happen to live in Wapakoneta, Ohio, which is Neil Armstrong's hometown when he was a kid. So I had lots of buyers here in Wapak, and it's been wonderful. And when I finished that book, I thought, another niche book. I've done all the work to self-publish. I have a publishing arm, Beach Girl Press, and why not do another book? So my favorite place is Norris Lake. That's in Tennessee. We liked it so much, we wound up buying a house down there. But we went every vacation to the lake. My kids learned to water ski on the lake because it's so flat. It's so gorgeous during the week. I mean, it's like living on a lake inside a national park. And I thought, oh, this could be a neat book. At the marinas, there's really, there's nothing fun for kids except ice cream and t-shirts. And I thought, why not a book? So that's where the idea came from.
Yeah, great. I can see there is a lot of power to writing to a niche. And especially something that has local interest, like in the case of your first book, local interest to where you live. And in the case of your second, sort of local interest for your vacation home, second home area. There's a lot of good power towards writing something that's, fortunately, the ACs, we can't do a lot of live events, but one day we all will be able to, and that will have a lot of selling power.
Well, at least places that are out in the sun are starting to open up more and more, and that's what I'm hoping with this book. It's done as a picture book on the left side of each page. On the right side is a journal page. There's room for you as the reader, as the kid, to write down your thoughts. There's space for you to draw a picture. And my advice to anybody who buys the book, practice what you want to do on another page, on a blank page, on scrap paper, so that the book looks like the way you want it to. Because I've worked on this book for almost a year now, and to get it the way I wanted it to. I thought it was interesting how it evolved, because it started out with a list of things that my kids did at the lake. You brainstorm ideas. And I wrote a pretty flat plot. And working with my critique groups, they said, you need some more tension. You need to make this a story. So I put in a treasure hunt. It started as a scavenger hunt, but you can't really bring this stuff back to the book. But you could bring back a picture, or you could draw your own picture. And so that gave it some more depth. And then I started adding in places on the right side where I was tracking the points, the things that my hero, she's the youngest in a family of five. She has an older brother and an older sister. So of course they're supposed to win. But for picture book lovers, the youngest one has to win. And she started tracking her points, which also gives kids some ideas of things to look for at their lake, things to find at their lake. I even, because I'm a teacher, I threw in a map because, oh my gosh, maps are like huge in either reading or science and social studies to be able to read. And you go anywhere, you go to Cedar Point in Ohio, which is an amusement park, you'll have a map of, and if you don't want to get lost, use it. The other unusual thing I did is I wanted kids to get an idea how big this lake is. It's huge. So I put in the length and the width and the depth, and then I asked them to convert it into football fields, because a kid can picture a football field. And when you say it's 2,000 football fields long, as opposed to miles, I think you get a better idea how huge it really is. Or if you say it's 70 feet deep, are 70 yards deep. You look at a football field and you go, oh, that's swimming down most of the football field. So I thought that was a neat angle to take to get kids to understand things a little deeper. And then the last thing that, the thing that came last that really moved the story the most was when I gave the characters names before they were the oldest and youngest. And by giving them names made them real people. So it gave it a whole new dimension and it pushed the story up to where it is now.
Yeah, it's funny how names can do that, and finding just the right name for the right character makes them sort of come to life in your mind. So we've got a little bit of a lag between the two of us, but I think we haven't missed any of your audio. There's been a little bit of chugging. It's really interesting how what you described. This is really very much a STEAM-centered book. There's drawing that the children are asked to do, but there's also science concepts that it's teaching them along the way.
In on one of the pages, the little girl meets, I think it's a racerback lizard, and I didn't know this till my kids stepped on it. Evidently, if you step on the tail of a racerback lizard, the lizard escapes and the tail remains. And I had no idea. But there were just things, there are so many things at the lake to see. There's a bobcat who found his way into my story. My husband had seen him. He was on the boat, and the bobcat was on the banks of the lake. And I was so glad that bobcat couldn't swim. In the story, I converted it so the girl and her dad, the youngest, Zoe, is kayaking with her dad, and they see the bobcat, and they make the same comment that they're glad it isn't going to start swimming towards them. Or, I've always been in the lake, and you have the fish bite your legs. That happened in the story, too. So it's a lot about taking your own experiences and making them into a form that a kid can picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really helpful to hear that about your process, the way you sort of brain dumped your memories and slowly turned that into a story, which is something that a lot of children's authors, or just a lot of authors who want to be inspired by their memories, sometimes struggle to do, because memory isn't all, you know, it doesn't really often come in a nice story structured package. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and every story I've ever written, it, even if it starts with real, you have to add something to the story to get it to move. You can't find, when I wrote Neil, I couldn't find the quotes for everything he said. That was the biggest part that was made up. In this story, you know, I don't think there's anything that couldn't happen, because all those things have happened. And another great thing for this story with kids is, when I was teaching second grade, one of the things they had to write was about their own experiences. So this gives them a chance to do that. And I think it is so cool that you see this book at the lake, that's what I'm picturing, between two t-shirts. And not only do you have a chance to get a picture book, but you have a chance to get a souvenir. Mm-hmm. And the souvenir can record all your memories that you want, so that whenever you open up that book, the memories won't fade. It'll always be exactly what you said at that moment in time. So I think that's a neat thing. And that, I think that's the heart thing for grandparents and parents who might look at this. I think it's also a great idea to get kids outdoors instead of on their machines.
Yeah, they have to interact with the world to explore and try to find the same things that are in there in the book and find what's different. Yeah. So what were some maybe challenges and joys of writing a book like this that is part story, but also somewhat part journal and part prompt?
I think the hardest thing is trying to make this a story that goes beyond Norris. Because, you know, it's one level of selling a book only at Norris Lake. But if I could sell it at St. Mary's in Ohio or Indian Lake in Ohio, the commonality is the lake and that you can write your own experiences. If you're thinking about teacher stuff, compare contrast, because that's what you're doing. Norris is like this, St. Mary's is like that. And it's a way to look at things and see what's the same that you can do in both places. In both places you can water ski. St. Mary's is maybe 3 to 5 feet deep, or Norris is like 70 feet deep. So there are things that that the reader and writer is going to find that are different. The other thing is just reaching out and convincing marinas who have never bought books that this would be a good thing for them to do. So that's been a huge challenge, and I'm still working on that one. But I just, one of the things that always amazes me with anything I've written is how the writing inspires you. The writing moves you to write a story instead of you have your outline of what you're going to write, but somehow, somewhere in the story, it takes over. And it's feeding the story into your brain, which I think is magic.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it's magical. So was there anything, you've been through this process before in writing a book, publishing, was there anything kind of unexpected that came up this time around?
Well, the last time I discovered Neil was copyrighted, this time, about February, I discovered Ingram, who's a huge publisher for self-published books, that they weren't going to do journals. So I had it in their form, that their template that matched their form. And then I went to KDP. KDP had a different one, and I matched up the size. But around the 1st of May, I discovered the size that I wanted. They only print that in black and white. Oops. So I had to find out what size was closest to the size I wanted for the picture or for the pictures on the cover within. And then I had to redo everything again. It was a matter of cutting and pasting. I didn't have to rewrite the story, but figure out how to get the story in. I had to, the pictures you have to match up so that it fits within the margins and makes the best use of the space, that you don't have too much action going on, that you have enough white space. I've really learned to think like an editor, because this book, I found online photos that were public domain, and we digitally enhanced them so they look like, colored pencils. So they kind of look like colored pencils, kind of a tone. And that's how we did the artwork. And it was way cheaper, because I just don't know how this book is going to sell. So this time I don't have the money in it that I did with the first one, because with Neil Armstrong is the name. He's going to sell books. The Lake, we're a work in progress. So that's been huge, and it'll still be huge. But once you make that first connection, once the first person sees your potential, hopefully a few other marinas will get on board and sell Lake. So, but it's been a lot of fun to write.
So I'm glad you brought up this formatting printing issues. That's something that people often don't think about until very late in the self-publishing process, but it's actually something you have to consider pretty early on. And it is a bit of a bummer about, I know why Ingram is cracking down on journals and things, because there's a lot of really low quality books that are, mm-hmm. are just like lined pages that people are trying to produce. But mm-hmm. Yeah, so I imagine that might be clarified and perhaps changed in the future. Just, you know, I hope, because there's a lot of good journal content out mm-hmm. there. It's probably not their intent to mm-hmm. to squash that, but yeah.
Well, I think mine is I've never seen a book like I imagined, and when I imagined writing this book, it wasn't the way I expected it would be. I know your listeners won't see the book, but it will help me to talk about it if I pull up the book. And you can see, the cover is just gorgeous with the lake. I have three little photos of things that are fun. I have kids tubing. I have somebody wake surfing. Mm-hmm. And my critique partner who had water skied couldn't believe that you would be skiing like a couple feet to a yard behind the boat and behind the motor. But you are in the picture. You're right behind there. And eventually you let go of the rope and you just surf like you're on an ocean. Mm-hmm. And it's the wake of the boat that carries you along. Then I have a kiddo who's wakeboarding, which my kids have done the most. But the pictures inside are something that we did ourselves, I think, are so cool. Here's the one page I wanted to show you. We have a big, huge space for a kid to draw, for them to get a postcard, for them to print out a picture. And then down below, I have spaces for them to write. That one's about the feet and yards. This one is the same thing. We've got like four lines to write on, so they can plan out what they want to think. But I just think it's the idea of making your work special by putting in a frame. I thought that was a mm-hmm. cool idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked a bit about the process. What do you think, and we may have touched a little bit on this, but what do you think are some of the benefits to the readers, to the kids, to doing this, going through this kind of book that's part story and part journal?
I think it appeals to both sides of the brain, having done that as an elementary teacher. The left side, the right side, I can't remember which is which, mm-hmm. but it seems like the left side is the more math science oriented, and I think of the right side as the more fun one. You get a story that's your fun side, and I could always tell as a second grade teacher, whenever my kids came in, the ones who had read during the summer, they were always ahead. And this is another book to read, and you're reading about your experiences over and over again, and you're also writing about them. And if you look at our testing society, if you can read, if you can write, you're going to do well on tests. Mm-hmm. And this book gives them the chance to do both. The other thing is, as a reading teacher, when you connect new kinds of stories and read about to real experiences, that's what this book does, because it's based on swimming at the dock and having the fish bite your legs. It's based on even if you're not old enough to wakeboard, you can tube and you can see other people tubing. And it gives you a chance to see and to do those things, so that when you write it, you have a stronger connection. You make stronger memories. So that's what I'm hoping. And the other huge thing, the heart thing, is coming home with a story and a souvenir. A t-shirt you outgrow and you throw away. Mm-hmm. But a book like this, you might be showing it to your kids when it's time, and you might be taking them to the lake that you went to and reliving some of those experiences, which is kind of cool. Or for grandparents that have lake houses, to bring their kids there and buy them a book and say, okay, let's go out and experience. Mm-hmm. I think that's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just a reading experience. It's a going out into the world and doing experience. Yeah.
Writing.
Yeah, and writing.
Which is huge.
So, do you have any more parting thoughts you'd like to share with listeners before we go?
I think the biggest thing I've learned is to let your story take you where it's going to. Start with that basic outline and then have critique partners read it. And don't be discouraged if you fix what they said the first time and you take it back and they see something else. It's writing is like dropping a stone in a pond. The bigger the stone, the bigger the ripples. And anytime you add to a story or take away from a story, your ripples. I think the process of editing it important. One of the things, if your listeners want to get better at writing, go into Microsoft Word or whatever program you use and see if you can find a way to use a narrator. That's one of my new finds. Mm-hmm. When I listen to it, I turn off one side of my brain. I don't have to read it and think about it and try to find errors. This just lets me listen to it, and I hear so much. I've also heard that you read it out loud and you have a friend read it out loud to you. And honestly, I didn't think I'd see the things that I did. I'm taking a class right now, and I'm surprised. I still pull up stuff that I want to correct. I just think there's something about the land of story. I also think by writing, when you look at other books, you see some of the things that you struggled with and how they dealt with it. So I would just say, if you're thinking about self-publishing, investigate, talk to people, find out what's easy, what's hard, and you'll get there. Absolutely.
Yeah, great advice. And I second the Microsoft Word read aloud feature. That's become my last final step of proofreading of everything that I write and everything that I edit.
And I think for kids, it's such an easy thing for them to do because it reads it the way it is on the page. Like I had a name and it said Vivan and I went, I didn't write that, but yes, I did. And I think it makes it easier because in second grade, kids did not want to see their mistakes. They wanted, the writing was like a reflection of themselves. So criticizing it was criticizing them. But to read it and hear it and say, oh, I wouldn't sound like that. It was a lot easier for them to see mistakes and accept them as mistakes and things to make better. So mm-hmm. I think that's a terrific process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you for sharing your insights into this really interesting process that you've gone through with this second book. So before you go, would you like to remind readers where they can find you and your books online?
Absolutely. If you go to rendabeach.com, and print it out for them because my name is unusual.
You broke up a little bit there. So,
will you have that printed out for them?
Yeah, I'll put it all in the show notes as well. Would you mind starting over because you broke up a little bit right there at the end?
And I don't want to break up for the audience. Yeah. Okay. If you would like to find me online, I do a blog every night. For most 90% of the nights, and I do book reviews. And both of my books, you can find them at rendabeach.com. And Connie will have the information in her notes, so you can just click on it. To buy the book, either of them, they're on amazon.com. An easy way to find them is type in my name. So I hope you'll check me out, and I hope you head to the lake and have a great summer.
Absolutely. I hope we can all be getting out a little bit more this summer and that it's safe to do so. So thank you again for coming on.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to be here now. If I can be back next year, I'm thinking about beach fun for you and me, since I'm the beach girl.
Yeah, more beaches, absolutely.
Yes, yes. You can never have too many good beaches.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Book Echoes podcast. And if you would like to discuss further Rinda or her book or the realities of putting together a journal or workbook or other type of book with prompts, then I would love to hear from you. You can find the comment, you can comment on the show notes, and you can find the show notes for this episode and any other episode at bookechoes.com/show. You can always email me, Connie@bookechoes.com, or you can give us some feedback on a review or a rating on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever it is you are listening to this show. Until next time, happy writing.